NBA Australia. How are you going? Hey, again. I hope you're all right. This is NBA Australia. It's Wednesday, hump day, March 6th, all day. I'm a bloke, James Clements. You can hear me on the Supercoach AFL podcast, on the AFL Today show, Fox Sports Lab NBA, NFL Straight. Jeez, I just do a lot of things, I'll tell you. Anyway, here in Larry Armour Studios, before I go to see Mr. Bungle tonight at the festival, oh, that'd be fun. Just giving you the lowdown, all things NBA, chaos day today. Patty Mills! Patty Thrills! He's off to the Miami Heaters! The Hooters! Sure, why not? We had an epic meltdown from the Celtics and a chaos Suns-Nuggets game, where the Nuggets came flying back and then the Suns beat them in overtime. And also the Mavs suck. So there's that to talk about. I'll go over all that and all the game reps, as well as that's the night, four made, no made, spot of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, we have some, yeah, nah, it's the unpopular opinion of the day. Now, back take, guess who was serving up a flame grilled take, that's right. As well as an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence and a Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up Award. And we'll pick and preview all the games tomorrow. There's some crackers on as well, so that'll be it, because I got to get out of here and get organized, get the squid sorted so old mate doesn't stab me. She'll be just 100% like, where are you going again? God. I've also got the basketball tomorrow night as well. Anyway, let's do it. Episode 1047 of NBA Australia. Let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Ah, you better. I do like that inside the NBA tries different things. We've got more tweets in different spots now. Also, look, it's Jamal Crawford, but anyway, Shaq was very fun on that one today. A couple of good games for him to talk about, so that was good. Let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. Oh, it's the daily whip around, isn't it, Jim? Yes. Patty Mills! The biggest news today, very clearly, was Australian legend, all-round great dude, the world's greatest man, many would argue, including myself. Patty Mills is off to the Miami Heat. That's right, boomer culture meets heat culture. Do I have to stop making jokes about heat culture now? I don't want to, but I will. I didn't stop making jokes about the Hawks. Anyway, Patty Mills obviously waived by the Hawks in time to be eligible to play in the playoffs. So now he can with Miami, which is good. And I'm a kind of a little bit, I'll get to this later in the NRs, but it's a good landing spot for Patty because it is a team that will value his leadership. I mean, just look at Udonis Haslem. They love that dude for a million years. And Patty Mills is a legend. So they should embrace him with wide open arms down there in South Beach. But yeah, it's kind of like very much breaking case of emergency kind of vibes for Patty. Because they do have a few ball handlers down there in Miami already. But I think it at least gives Spo that one extra little veteran that he can run out there and go, hey, Patty, can you get us some threes? And Patty be like, not a problem. That's what I do. Check this out. Also, I'll talk about this in the NRs, but yeah. A couple of other options would have fit maybe a little bit better. But Miami, what, 34-26 before today. They got the win over Detroit. And right in the thick of the Eastern Conference playoff run. So that's good. So as it stands, you're like, well, Patty Mills beat us back in 2014. If you can't beat him, Jordan, they say. They're just like, right, remember when he shredded us in the 2014 playoffs? Well, let's just go get him. So 35-26, they're now in sixth in the East. They've slipped ahead of Philly after the Sixers loss. So crazy stuff. Sticking with a bit of an Australian contingent vibe, we will hit on more Patty Mills stuff later. Isaiah Thomas, you might remember him, came out to Australia, talked a whole bunch of smack about basically, oh, I could win the MVP in the NBL. It's like, could you? Maybe. we'll see. You do have knees made seemingly of putty, so not entirely sure. He's now joining the G League. I feel like talking a lot of schmack about the old NBL and then being able to only get a gig in the G League is a bit of a, how's your mother? But either way. So he's joining the Salt Lake City Stars. Sure. I'd rather have Patty Mills. And then finally, sticking with the Aussies and sticking with point guard vibes, Ben Simmons. You might remember Ben Simmons. Tall bloke. Professes to play basketball sometimes. I reckon he should just come back and play for the Bombers. He played in 6 games to start the season. Said, geez, this is all a bit messed up. Came back in January, played 9 games, he's out again. He's played in 57 of 178 games since being traded to Brooklyn. 57 of 178. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty incredible. So if you think about basically what, holding out 21-22, the dude's barely played. This year, 15 games, making $38 million. Not a bad gig if you can get it, if you ask me. He's going to make $40 million next year, and that'll be the end of his extension. Interesting question is, what does his next contract look like? Dot, dot, dot. In China. Maybe not. But it's going to be very interesting. Right. The thing is, and why this is newsworthy, is that his agent came out and was like, yep, it's all my fault that he's not playing. It's like, all right. So you might remember that Box Hill Benny walked away from Clutch after, I don't know, myriad weird things going on there, like him sitting out an entire season because his bum was hurt, you know? Oh, I'm just a bit buttered about the mean things they're saying about me. Now, Bernie Lee, Simo's agent, is taking the blame for it. He said, it's a continuation of the same injuries he's dealt with all year. We're trying to get clear answers of how to get him out of the reactive cycle he's in. We continue to try and find non-surgical options to allow Ben to move forward on a permanent basis, and that is where this is my responsibility, and I'm the one to blame. When I began working with Ben, I made a commitment to him that I would do everything I could to find the right answers and specialists for him to work with in order to move forward from the issues he's been having. Clearly, it hasn't happened, and that's my responsibility. I mean, it is, I guess. In the year that I've worked with Ben, he's taken less than 7 days off. Sure. In my almost 20 years doing this, it's something I've not seen. So the thought that he's doing everything asked of him, just not getting the results, is something that is no way, shape, or form that sits right with me, and I'm committed to finding him the right people and the right answers, and we will. Come the off-season, we're going to implement some processes and outside input that will allow him to finally move forward from this ongoing issue and resume his career at the levels he's established prior to being injured. Yes. Those levels. I don't want this ball. Ah! Good job. I don't know. It's interesting that the agent's like, yep, yeah, trying not to have surgery, and it's the back's still rooted. All right. So Kevin Ollie has come out and said, yep, he's considered day-to-day, but basically it sounds like Packer up, boys. He's done for the season. Right. Let's do some game wraps. Game wraps. That's right. The game wraps are from today. Had a couple of crackers. Orlando Charlotte was not one of them. 101-89, the Magic men win. Weird game. Magic stomped them in the second half. Charlotte just fell off. But it was very close early on. And the point where it probably turned was when Franz Wagner, hello, had a 1-on-5. 5 defenders. He, the single offensive player, and he scored pretty easily. You're like, oh, Charlotte don't care. Wrong. 21 points for Micic, and Trey Mann had 18, 6, and 4. It is amazing that OKC's cast-offs, like a pair of dirty undies that you've had to throw out the car window when something's gone horribly wrong. Micic and Trey Mann walk into Charlotte and basically become their best two players. Brandon Spindles-Miller at 18. He wasn't that great. And Miles Bridges had a Barry Crocker shocker. I'll talk about him later. Orlando shot 54%. Palo Bancaro had 22. He had Wendell go for 12-9. Franz only shot 4 of 11, but I don't know. Johnny Isaac, 11. Mo Wagner, 11. 14 for Asko Anthony. And Orlando rolled it pretty easily. 36-26. Charlotte, 15-47. Then the big one, Boston-Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Absolute chaos gear. 105.
Cleveland
beating Boston 104. Jeez, Jim, that's pretty crazy. Your 1-point win. Well, you see, what's much more crazy about this is that the Celtics led by 22 and got outscored by 17 in the fourth quarter, and in fact got outscored by Dean Wade in the fourth quarter, a.k.a. the other D. Wade, a.k.a. Ween meeting Wade. Dean Ween, D. Wade, Dean Wade. Amazing. This game was psycho. Boston looked awesome out the gates, smashing everything, hitting a million threes. Tatum had 22 points in the first half. Celtics led by 10. They were rolling. And then they were still up going into the fourth quarter by a substantial amount. They were still up 20 with 9 minutes to go, I reckon. And then they weren't. Absolute chaos reigns. I love a good chaos game, and this was the ultimate chaos game. Because the Cavs didn't even score. Like, basically, they were down 22 with 9 minutes to go. It was 93-71. Now, you might go, geez, Jim, that sounds a lot like Cleveland scored 34 points while Boston scored 11 the rest of their way. Yes. You'd be right. It was insane. Dean Wade just went ham and was doing it. They had George Niang, the minibus, hitting threes. It was on like Kong. The Dean Wade three that put them up 3 points with like 2.5 minutes to go. You're like, Boston have completely melted down. This is hilarious. You've just got excrement running down their legs. That's what happened. The Dean Wade game, 20 points in the fourth quarter. The 11-game win streak for Boston just snapped. They took 16 shots in the paint, did the Celtics, in the fourth quarter. They took 8 threes, taking the right shots, and they missed just about all of them. At the very end, there was a little bit of controversy. Jason Tatum basically went for the ISO, 0.7 seconds left. They call a foul on Darius Garland. Even watching it in real time, you're like, I don't know that that was a foul. There was contact before the ball, before the shot, obviously. You also have Tatum pushing off Garland, and then you have Tatum kicking his leg out, which is what Garland hits after the shot has already been released. And you're like, ah, oh, they actually challenged it, and somehow the Cleveland Cavaliers won the challenge and won the game after the tip ball. 0.7 of a second. They didn't give him any moment to call a timeout. You got to love a bit of hometown scorers and operators on the clock. It's like as soon as it touches Derek White's hands, it's already been tapped. The second is done. We're done here, boys. Pack her up. It was an incredible, incredible pants filling by the Boston Celtics. Absolutely all time. Tatum had 22 points. He finishes on 26. Gross. 8 of 21. 21 on 8 of 20 shooting for Jaylen Brown. The extreme zinger meal.
Extreme zinger meal.
That's for 24-9. Drew Holiday, 12-4-5. And just, oh, geez, the rest of it. 16-11 for Garland. He shot 6-20 for the Cavs. 21-12 for Go The Fro, Jared Allen. You'd love to see that. Isaac Okoro hit 4 threes. Mobley got hurt. Hurt his ankle. He was having a shocking game anyway. Dean Wade, though, 23 points. They go 20 of 42 from downtown, the Cavs. That is a big win. Because Cleveland now 40-21. The Celtics slipped to 48-13. I think they'll be okay. But wow. Cavs, what a huge win that was. What an epic meltdown it was from Boston. Just absolute gross territories. Speaking of gross, New Orleans shit-pumped Toronto, 139-98. Yep. When Herb Jones is knocking in threes, like three of them in the first quarter or whatever, it's just like pack her up, boys. They had a 23-point at the half, and this was an absolute waxing. Toronto, RJ Barrett at 15, whatever. No Scoob, no Raptors. Olynyk at the Hoosier, 15-6-7. IQ, Emmanuel Quickley has been very handy, 17-7-7. But New Orleans, he had 34 points for Trey Murphy. He was awesome. Sorry, Trey Murphy the third. Gee, is he called Trey Murphy because he hits lots of trays? Yes. Herb hit 5-8 from 3 for 17. Zion, 16-8-9. Spindles had 12-6. CJ McCollum goes, 4 of 11 shooting, but ends up with 11-4-4. They went 24 of 49 on triples, did the Pelicans. It's not bad. So they ran right over the top of the Raptors, who are now 23-39. New Orleans, 37-25. 23-39 for the Raptors. That is, it's all falling off a cliff, isn't it? But the Pels are now firmly sort of back into the fifth spot. a game up on the Suns after the Suns win today. And we'll get to Dallas in a second, but it's not looking great. Detroit pushed Miami all the way. 110, they lose 118. I called it yesterday. Miami will sort of just overlook the Pistons a little bit. Cade Cunningham was really good. It was 60-61 at the half. Miami sort of just went, all right, well, it's literally the meme of like, they grabbed the controller and leaned forward. Cade ends up with 23-8. Ivy, 16-4. Durant, 14-10. Simon, they're from there, Gian. 22 points, 5 of 12 from 3. I believe the Jazz are 2-8 since they traded him. What were they doing? The Jazz, no one knows. The Raptors, why did they go get Kelly Olynyk? No one knows. Miami, though, 26-6-8 for Jimmy Butler. You had Bam go 18-7. Terry Rozier, 17. But it was Dunk. I'd like to have a beer with Duncan. He went 4 of 9 from 3. He had 18 points. And Caleb Martin, they're the two big difference makers for this team, right? 15-6. Love to see it. Miami, 35-26, as mentioned there in the sixth spot. Detroit, 9-52, tied with Washington for the worst in the NBA. Atlanta beat the New York Knickerbockers of New York City, 116-100. The Knicks put the fear of God into them, 21-6 run to take the lead to head into the fourth quarter. And then Atlanta went, they're starting Deuce McBride at point guard. No Jalen Brunson for the Knicks. 21-9 run of their own for Atlanta to close this one out and win it by 16. Huge win. Bon de DiVincenzo. 21 points. He shot 7 of 24. Yeesh. It was brutal. 5 of 17 from downtown in the end. Josh Hart at 14-8-6. Bojan, 4 of 11 from 3 for his 19. But look, no Randall, no Brunson, no OG, no the other Mitch Robinson. You're basically missing four starters for the Knicks. You know? It's just a tough one. So we'll cut him some slack. 26-9-7 for Jalen Johnson. He is a weapon. God, I hate that his last name is Johnson. DeJounte Murray at 21-9-6 as well. And DeAndre Hana at 22 off the bench. Big win for Atlanta. They're 27-34. Knickerbockers dropped to 36-26. That is a half game ahead of Miami and tied with the Orlando Magic men in four. So, yeah, there's a bit of strata forming in the East. Boston, Milwaukee, who have won six on the trot, and Cleveland are on the next tier. And then you have Orlando, the Knicks, the Heat, and the Sixers, and kind of the Pacers all the way down to eight. Then you got the Bulls, the Hawks, and the horrible Nets. But this was a big Atlanta win because it keeps them in 10th. They're 27-34 because Brooklyn beat Philly today. That's right. I yelled about the Nets yesterday because they stink. They stink. God, I hate them. What, Lord?
This is ridiculous. Oh, Lord.
And then they came out and beat the Sixers today. That was because the Sixers had no Tyrese Maxey. That seems important. 1 point lead at the half anyway for the Sixers. It was pretty funny. You're like, oh, my God, the Nets are just going to completely cook this. And they led 92-84 after Kelly Oubre hit a three with like 8 minutes and 8.5 minutes to go. But the Nets scored 11 straight points after that. Yeah, Claxton, free throws, all the good stuff. Then Dennis Smith Jr., and there was a sick 360 spin dunk that he did. And Dorian Finney-Smith and Dennis Schroeder had another 11. So, yeah, they ran over the top of him down the stretch. Oubre had 30 points, 2 of 5 from 3. Kelly Oubre's like, finally, no Maxey, no Embiid. This is Kelly Oubre's team. Just watch out for that bike. 18-9-4 for the never-nude Tobias Harris. Hey, Tobias, we've got no Maxey, we've got no Embiid. We're paying you $35 million. Can you get us 30? He's like, you got it, boss. 18 points. 15 for campaign, bring the pain. And Buddy Hield at 13. 14-5 for Big Booty Carl Larry. Not enough. Because Dennis Schroeder, I am German Rondo at 20-8. Claxton had 4 blocks and 17-10. DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith, 20 points. 4-7 from 3. Love that. 12 points in the fourth quarter that helped them up. 15 points for Mikal Bridges and Lonnie. Lonnie Walker was the difference maker. He was a plus 29 off the bench. 19 points, 4 of 6 from 3. Brooklyn, they moved to 25-37, still two games back of the Hawks for the 10 spot. What is this team doing? No one knows. 35-26 for the Sixers. As mentioned, they've dropped to 7. San Antonio Banderas Spurs lost in Houston, 114-101. A quiet Wemby game, and Şengün went, yes, he's right. Me, the Turkish man, beat the French man. That's what they do. The Spurs got smoked because Wemby was quiet. It took them a bit, though, the Rockets to get over the top. Sochan and Vassell and Branham kept them in it, but Şengün was un-bloody real in this game. You might call him Nikola Jokic from Wish, or, I don't know, Nikola Jokic from Turkey. But it all works. He was unreal. He's going to pop up again in a second. 22 for Vassell, 20 points from Branham. Calden Johnson had 18. He had 15, 8, and 3 for Sochan. And Wemby had just a lazy 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 blocks. Jesus. Houston, meanwhile, Şengün had 45-16 with 3 assists, 5 steals, and a block. That's pretty good. Yeah, it's not bad. 21 for Fred VanVleet with 10 assists and 4 steals. Jalen Green went 1-10 from 3, but still managed 23 points. And Cam Whitmore, very nice, 19 points. Houston, up to 27-34. Still just stinking up the joint. They're like 5.5 games back of the 10 spot. What is this team doing? Over under, how many more games it takes Ime Udoka to either root someone on the team's wife or punch one of the players? I'm going to say another 2 weeks. Then we'll hear something. San Antonio, 13-49, bottom of the West. Indy Dallas, God, I hate this Dallas team. But Jim, they scored 120. Shouldn't they win? Not when you give up 137. Because I'm no math magician. But if you score 120 points and give up 137, 137 is more than 120. And you'd lose the game. Awesome up-tempo game in the first half. Then the Mavs completely fell apart in the third quarter. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I'm ticked off.
This is disgusting. It's disgraceful. It's embarrassing. And I'm ticked off.
That's right. That was basically a live cut to Mark Cuban. Like, they were down 4 points going into the second half with the Mavs. And you're like, this is fine. They can hang with anybody. They can put up points. And you turn around, they're down 9. You turn around and they're down 12. You turn around, they're down 15. They literally just did not score from this moment. I think Kyrie hit some free throws with about 8.5 minutes to go. Then they scored one more time with Kyrie making a jumper. And then it took until basically Hardaway hit one of his very few points with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. And at that point, they were down already 18 points. I don't know. It seems like defense is vaguely important sometimes in the game of basketball. And this was one of those moments. Halliburton was absolutely shredding. Nembhard was shredding. Naismith. But the craziest part for the Pacers was that they had 9 players in double figures. I believe their bench outscored the Mavs like 69 to 32. Just absolute chaos gear. Luka had a 39-point, 10-rebound, 11-assist triple-double with 5 turnovers. Shot it very nicely, 15-30 from the floor, 4-13 from downtown. It didn't matter because Hardaway the lesser stunk. PJ Hamilton Washington had 20 in the end, and Kyrie had 23 points and 8 of 19 shooting. A bit, how's your mother? But, wow. Gafford 16-10 off the bench. They just completely fell off the boil in the third quarter. Got outscored by 14 points, and the game was done. Like the Mavs, just because they can't get any stops in that fourth quarter, it's like, well, you can't claw back that lead if you just keep letting the Pacers score. Because the Pacers are a wildly talented offensive team that if you give them an inch, they'll take a fucking mile. And Dallas, you got to play a hint of fucking defense. What are you doing? Anyway, Indy now 35-28. Dallas dropped to 34-28. I don't want to get too bent out of shape out of it because I realized that I did eventually. I think my tip for the season was Dallas going under 45 wins. And now I'm actually on track with that. God. But I also just want it to work because I love Dante Exum and I love Josh Green. And I love Luka. Kyrie's a dickhead, but that's another story altogether. And then finally, we had an awesome game. Suns-Nuggets goes to... Suns in four. 117-107 in overtime. The Suns win it. Because, I don't know, they scored 15 points in the overtime to Denver's 5. That came after them managing an entirety of 12 points in the entire fourth quarter. They only scored 12. In overtime, they scored 15 because KD went ham. Brad Beal went ham. Grayson Allen just couldn't miss early on. He went 8 of 12 from 3 overall. But this game was sick. 5 of 24 they shot in the fourth quarter did the Suns. It was absolutely brutal. They fall apart once more down the stretch. The Nuggets came flying home, which was very entertaining. They had that place absolutely jumping. You had Jamal Murray hitting threes. The Kentavious Caldwell-Pope three that I think answered like a Brad Beal three to get them back within 6 in the fourth quarter. And then he hit another one to give them the lead. It was like so ostentatious, like, Boys, I've got this. I'm flaming hot. Check this out. Bang. It was absolutely bloody huge. And I did love it. But otherwise, the Nugs got down big. They fought back in the third quarter, sort of clawed their way back into the game. They were down 22 points at one point in this game because Phoenix put the hurt on them in the second quarter, 37-18. And they just showed that championship mentality, pulled it all the way back. And then the Sun just went, This whole altitude thing, it doesn't matter sometimes when we've got Brad Beal and Kevin Durant just hitting all the shots. And you're like, that's actually not a bad tactic. Nikola Jokic had 25 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, and 7 turnovers. A weird game for the big Joker. He was a minus 13. Aaron Air Gordon was a minus 22. He shot 3 of 10 and had 7 points. Jamal Murray had 28 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. He was awesome. He had a plus minus of 0. In a game they lost by 10. He played 42 minutes. I feel like they might need a backup point guard who's not Reggie Jackson, who shot 1 of 6. Gross! Kentavious Caldwell-Pope went 3-3 from downtown, 3 for free, 11 points as well. And Michael Porter Jr. had 20 points, 7 rebounds, 8 of 18 shooting. They went 15 of 40 from 3. They had 14 turnovers. The Suns only had 9 turnovers. And it was like basically the Nuggets stopped turning the ball over in like the third quarter. And that's what got them back into it. In the fourth, they obviously pulled all the way back and forced overtime. But the Suns, 35 for number 35, KD, 8 in rebounds, 5 assists as well with a couple of blocks. He shot 14 of 34 and 3 of 8 from 3. Grayson Allen, 8 of 12 from downtown for his 28. 16, 6 and 6 for Brad Beal. Yusuf Nurkic, hello. Bulls noon bear fouled out. 7, 12 and 6 for him, though. He was very handy until he fouled out. You also had a bit of a rough one, I'll tell you, for everybody else. Basically, Royce O'Neal, 8, 5 and 6. 2 of 5 from 3. You had 0 of 4 from Eric Gordon. A bit of a weird one, but they hold on. That's a huge win for the Suns. 36 and 26 now. The Nugs! 42 and 20, 24 and 6 at home. Doesn't matter. Entertaining game. Give me a full bloody playoff series of that, would you? Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Oh, you bets to bloody believe it. Dean Wade. D-Wade. Ocean Mahan. Dean Wade, the other Dean Wade. Outscored the Celtics by the... by himself in the fourth quarter, 20-17. They went, that's a knife. Check out this knife, Dean Wade. He's like, that's not a fucking knife, idiot. This is a knife. Bang! Career high, 23 points. Dean Wade, you legend. And of course, Şengün, the youngest player ever with 45 plus points, 15 rebounds, and 5 steals in a single game. But yeah, Jokic from Wish, absolutely dominant. He is like, he looked at Wembanyama and went, God, they hate the French. 45 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals and a block. He was un-bloody real. He's also the winner of the hairy sweaty guy of the week today as well. God damn, he was worked up a bit of a sweat after that game. Nice one, Şengün. And 35 for 35. KD hitting the 35 was very nice. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Had a few spuds, I tell you. Reggie Jackson goes 1-6, 1-7 for Eric Gordon in that late game. You also had Grady Dick, a.k.a. BJ from the Righteous Gemstones, go 1-7. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Jordan Hawkins, Nick Batum, Trendon Watford, all went 1-6 as well. A couple of big standouts, though. 4-15 for Jordan Nwara. It's like, why is Jordan Nwara taking 15 shots? And Deuce McBride, 4-15 as well. Evan Fournier, don't Google me, 2-10 for him. But mine, the big standout for me was like Miles Bridges in and out, dealing with an injury. He shot 3 of 16. 3 of 16. Gross. That is absolutely abysmal territories. And couldn't happen to a better fucking shitter bloke, huh? God, that dude sucks. Anyway, it was a weird one because the Hornets were like putting up a fight and then Miles Bridges went, fucking fights, eh? Let's go. What a shit bloke. But that's about it, because I don't think we had anyone shoot the magic number today, which is a goddamn shame. A lot of games, and somehow we don't get the magic number. Anyway, what about Old Mate No Mates?
Old Mate No Mates!
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 Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, the spud of the night could have also just gone to the entire Celtics team in the fourth quarter. God, that was bad. But speaking of the Celtics, Joey Muzz, old mate, no mates. I mean, it's like as soon as he wins 11 straight games, somehow he doesn't win Coach of the Month, despite them not losing for a month, which is just weird. But also, Joey Muzz, he'd sort of just gotten past the, oh, I think we trust him. And then suddenly they just completely shit down their league. Amazing gear from Joey Muzz. But old mate, no mates, Luka and Kyrie. So they are now below 500 in the games they've played together. I don't know, man. It sort of seems like there's like a consistent kind of vibe about a dude named Kyrie Irving, isn't there? 25 and 26 now in their 51 games. They're the 8 seed, the Mavs, and they've lost 5 of their last 6 after ripping off that big, big win streak. They are playing absolutely rubbish basketball, the Mavs. It's like we either get more Dante or more Josh Green, but wow, God, they're bad. Luka, after the game, was like, yes, his defense is bad, huh? It's like, yeah, this dude just scored 4 straight 30-point triple-doubles, which will pop up again later. And he's just like, can we fucking get a stop? It's like, well, I mean, you're not really helping on that end, Luka, but at the same time, he's making a good point. Pantsing of the night. Fatty fat. Sam Hauser got absolutely dropped. He had to go touch grass by Darius Garland. Just went. Kind of got tripped up a little bit by his own teammate, but not really. Got no one to blame but himself. And Grayson Allen got absolutely denied by Peyton Watson. At the rim, couldn't happen to a shitter bloke again, right? Grayson Allen, I'm going to dunk it. And Peyton Watson is like, no, you're not, idiot. Brap! Better than Lonzo Ball!
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, especially if your name's Trey Murphy III. Oh, yes, get him, Kenneth. 10 of 14 from downtown, that is bloody good and very clearly better than Lonzo Ball. Because he scored 34 points. That is one more than Lonzo's career high. But 10 threes is absolutely bloody ridiculous. 11 to 17 from the floor. 34 points, 10 of 14 from the three in 29 minutes. Absolutely absurd. And very easily better than Lonzo Ball. We could also just throw Şengün in there as well. How do OKC feel just going, God damn it, how did we miss on that day? Cooked it. 17th overall pick in the 2021 NBA draft, though. Trey Murphy, Yushta. All right. The cool thing is, I believe we do have got the board at home in the studio. So let's do it. It's time for the magic tweet of the day. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark for reaching another milestone, passing Pete Maravich to set the all-time NCAA scoring record. Both Caitlin and Pistol Pete change the game forever and favor each other in how they play. The way they combine elite scoring ability with ball handling and passing is unlike any other. I'm looking forward to seeing her greatness on display as we head into March Madness. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. All right, let's do some NBA Australia Yeah Nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia, yeah, Nahs. Brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch.
Timo!
Get your merch.
Wear it!
Get your merch.
All right, get your merch. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. Get a t-shirt. I'm wearing one right now. Get a hoodie. Get a stubby holder. Get a coffee mug. There's only a couple of those left. Let's do it. Let's start with Patty. Does Patty work in Miami? Yeah, nah, yes! Because Patty works anywhere, as long as he's got a coach that believes in him. I like it in Miami. It's a great culture fit. He's going to be a fantastic, fantastic teammate. He's Patty Mills. It's what he does. I also love the intersection of boomer culture and heat culture. That is fantastic. Good vibes only. He could become the new Udonis Haslam. I'm all here for it. That said, I kind of feel like Patty might have gotten a little bit more run for, like, I don't know, the Knicks or even the Magic. Because, look, the Heat also added Delon Wright, right, after trading Big Buddha Carl Larry for Terry Rozé. They've also got Jaime, who does a bit of ball handling. Obviously, Jimmy Butler does a shit ton of it too. Bam. And then you have Tyler Hero at some point coming back. So, look, it means that Patty's most likely breaking case of emergency, hit some threes, a little bit of ball handling, off you go. But it's still a really good landing spot because he can do that really bloody well. He's Patty fucking Thrills, mate. But I love that. So good on you, Patty. I'm here for it. We've got a stat in a second as well. But there was a couple of good ones. I had some good replies to the tweet I put out. Clippers missed their chance. The one that got away. That's from our man Stevie C, Steve Cram. And Dave Robbins, David R. Joe Ingles would have gotten the Clippers over the hump in the tweens. Yeah, nah! I reckon it is one of the... It's weird that we don't talk about it more. Because if there was one thing that Clippers, the Blake CP3 DeAndre Jordan Clippers team needed, it was just a big, sweet shooting wing who could handle the ball and relieve Chris and Blake whenever they needed to. That bloke was named Joe Ingles, and they completely screwed the pooch by overlooking him. And that's why the Clippers are one of the teams that have never had an Aussie on it, which I'll get to in a second. And obviously, last one, did Joey Muzz get screwed for missing coach of the month? Yeah, nah, he did, yeah. Oh, fucking love you, Jason. Oh, Jason, do you want to watch the town, man? Joey, we're in the middle of a game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Nah, man, I'm fucking just so getting on watching the town, bro. Do you want to come around to my house and just fucking watch the town? Joey, we're actually in Cleveland. So that's right, I've got it on DVD. I've got a portable DVD player. Come around to my hotel room. We'll watch the town together. We'll just sit on the hotel bed. We'll sit there. Have some popcorn, hold hands, maybe have a bit of a smooch. Oh, fuck, I love you, Jason. Coach, can we drop a play for this last play? Nah, man, I think you've got it. Joey Muzz. They had two wins of 50-plus points. Another one with 40-plus point win. They went 9-1 in all of February. They beat Miami. Miami went 8-3. How does Spo win Coach of the Month over Boston and Joey Muzz? That's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, definitely the NBA is an anti-Celtics agenda. We've seen that time and time again. Anyway, good times. Poor Joey Muzz, poor one out.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
So if Tatum is going to have, he's rising up the MVP ranks in the first half of today's game, can we sink him back down after the second half of today's game? Like, I feel like this is one of those ones where you go, that's going to sting for a bit. It's a nationally televised game. Tatum comes up completely short in that entire second half. He seemingly gets the foul at the end of that game, doesn't get the call. Well, gets the call, gets it overturned. It's a bit weird. So if your MVP case is being made in the first half, I think we can take the case away. He went from MVP to MIA. It was brutal to watch. And finally, Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback. You know what that means? Oh, yeah. Coming back from dropping off the squids at daycare and school this morning. I'll tell you what. Found a partially squashed wombat on the side of the road. But that was all right. It was only the front half. So we made some wombat wontons. And it's only at Outback. They're bloody delicious, I tell you. Again, bit gamey. We made him square, though, in honour of the wombat's poo. It's great stuff. And it's only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, with Patty Mills on Miami, that leaves only three NBA teams to never have an Aussie on their active roster. And what do Indy, Memphis, and the LA Clippers all have in common? Oh, that's right. No bloody NBA titles! You missed a trick, Clippers! You missed a trick, Pacers! And you missed a trick, Memphis. Go out and get yourself a Patty Mills, Patty Thrills. Win the bloody NBA title. That is why the only teams that will win the NBA title this year will be Oklahoma City, Miami, Orlando, Dallas, and New Orleans. Only at Outback. They're the only ones with active Aussies. Let's bloody go, mate. Let's bloody go. Well, there's obviously the Nets. They're probably not going to make it. Box Hill Benny's probably not going to play either. Houston aren't going to make the playoffs. And Portland are definitely not going to make the playoffs. But let's do an Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber Award right after we do the Australian player watching stuff, which will also happen right after this.
This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch had a raft of the Aussies. You can see my daily post about what Aussie is playing where. Obviously, no Box Hill Benny today. Because he's out there playing against the Sixers. We're not going to play against the Sixers. My back's sore. Yep. It's okay. It's his agent's fault. Paddy Thrills obviously didn't play for Miami. Apparently just signed. It's okay. Rock'em, sock'em, block'em, jock'em, Landale against one of his other old teams. He's only got two and he's just played both of them. The Spurs in 11 minutes. He had 2 points and 8 rebounds. It's bloody good. 1 steal as well. 1 of 4 from the floor. Jingling Joe Ingles against the Hornets played 17 minutes. Not bad. He had 8 assists. Went 0 of 1 on his shots. There was a 3. Missed it. Still had 2 rebounds and 8 assists and was a plus 15 in 17 minutes. Bloody good. Greeny in that loss to Indy. Josh Scott Green, 6 points, 3 of 7 shooting. It does sort of seem, of course, that when Dallas drop off a fucking cliff, it's when Greeny and Dante just aren't really shredding. But Dante was pretty handy today in his 16 minutes. So, but Greeny, 6 points, 2 rebounds, a steal and a block. The 3 of 7 shooting, it's like the correlation between Josh Green hitting like between 2 to 3 threes and like the Mavs winning is going to be fucking sky high. Dante Exum, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal in only 16 minutes. He went 1 of 1 from the floor and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. The perfect game. And still no Dyson Daniels back for the Pelicans. Be a Pelican, not a Pelicans. Just saying. All right. Let's do it. Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence.
Andrew Gaze, Grey Mamba.
Outstanding achievement here.
Excellence. Clap it up. Easy. Luca. I mentioned that earlier. 4 straight 30-point triple-doubles. Third player in NBA history to do that. It's pretty bloody hard. It's a lot of points. It's a lot of rebounds. It's a lot of assists. He's just gone 30-12-16, 37-12-11, 38-11-10, and 39-10-11. The only other two blokes to do that ever, it's Oscar Robertson. He did it in 19-1 in 4 consecutive games. And Rusty Westbrook did it in 2017 when he averaged a triple-double. He did it 5 straight games.
Not bloody bad, bro.
But how about a quick Shane Hill shooter shoot, shoot your shot, light them up award?
He threw it down! Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. It is the Shane Heal.
Shoot his shoot.
Shoot your shot. Light him up award. One of the great drops. Trey Murphy turned into Shane the Hammer Heal today. First player in franchise history for the Pels to have 3 games of 9-plus-3s made. And he's the only player in franchise history to have multiple games of 10-plus-3s. That is absolutely Hammer in his pomp, running around in those tight shorts. The Brisbane Bullets, Sydney Kings, whatever you need him to do. Shane Heal, shooter, shoot. Trey Murphy, absolute shooter. All right, what about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in for today? Let's see who's been up to what. I reckon Jock's been spamming the old... Oh, Dante, here we go. Dante just forwarding out the Tissot fit. I mean, it's fine. He's wearing a T-shirt and jeans. Who does he think he is? Me. He's wearing a hat. Pretty cool shoes. Good on you, Dante. It's not bad, mate. It's not bad. I'll pay that. Oh, we do have a Jock Lando one, though. Thought that. And he's wearing pretty good shoes. A pretty good jumper. This is the Game Day Drip brought to you by Michelob Ultra for the Rockets. The Mavs are Game Day Drip is brought to you by Tissot. So. He's wearing the mum jeans. Pretty good jumper. Backwards hat. Got a coffee. Got some nice shoes. What's the second one? Oh, he's working on cleanup. Good putback dunk today. Love that. Looking good, Jock. Right, let's do some game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
That's right. Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy.
Wednesday, March 6 is done and in the bag. How did we go today on the picks? It wasn't too bad. So we nailed Orlando. We nailed Cleveland. We nailed Detroit. We nailed New Orleans. We even nailed the Atlanta pick. That's 5 from 5 so far. But then we picked Philly. We picked San Antonio. We picked Dallas. And we picked Denver. So we went 5 of 9. The day started off so well. Oh, how angry did you get, Jim? Oh, fairly. Anyway, tomorrow we have got, a weirdly chockers sort of Thursday schedule for the Wednesday night games. What do we got? I think it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 games. That sounds right. Looks right. Can I count? Yes. Orlando on a back-to-back take on the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are horrible. They've lost a million straight games. The Wiz have put up a little bit of a fight here and there, as I've sort of hit on, right? But they have still also lost 15 straight games. I really like Orlando. Everybody knows this. And I was actually wearing my Shaq jersey early today because it's bloody hot here in Melbourne. But they did get absolutely smoked the Wiz in that Utah game. Getting scored, what was it, like 12-0 down the stretch just to completely bottle it. I'm going to go Orlando -7.5. They are one of the very best teams in the NBA covering the line. We're going to go Orlando -7.5. They're in the thick of the playoff race, back-to-back, young team. Look for Franz to bounce back. Cleveland take on Atlanta. Now Atlanta have waived Patty Mills. They can blow it out their nose. I'm going the Cavs +1.5. Without Mobley, you might still have Garland and Allen out there. I think they'll be too good for Atlanta. Give me Cleveland +1.5. Memphis go to Philly. Philly on a back-to-back. Maxey is in the concussion protocol. Dare say he shan't be back for this game. I'm going to go Memphis +5.5. They just play teams tough. This is like a classic Tobias Harris scores 38. They limp over the line and beat the Grizzlies by 4. Give me the Grizzlies +5.5. Clippers take on Houston. The Rockets on a back-to-back. I like the Clippers in this one. It's the old Chris Paul bowl. Police, help! Chris Paul's trying to fight me! Clippers -6.5. Thank you very much. They should smash the Rockets. Chicago go to Utah. A replay of the 97 and 98 NBA Finals. No Karl Malone, no John Stockton, no MJ. I like Chicago there after their rousing comeback win the other day. -4.5. Give me the Bulls. Having just been in Sacramento, they did get a day off. Kobe White, DeMar DeRozan there. Vooch, they should be a little bit too good for Utah. -4.5. Milwaukee at Golden State. The big question for this one is whether or not Giannis is actually healthy. He missed out on that game the other day. I'm fascinated to see if he plays. Dame had the 41-4-4 in that other game, though. I kind of think the Bucks might even have a little bit too much for him. Look, the Warriors aren't great at home this season. We sort of know that. He had like an Achilles sort of like, I don't know, tendonitis. So he sort of was limping around pre-game. I reckon an extra day off, he might be all right. If he gets out there, I'm going Milwaukee. +4.5 against Golden State. If he doesn't, I might still stick with him. That might go out a little bit more. I'd still stick with the Bucks. Okay, so you go to Portland for a fun time. -12.5 are the Thunder. I like that. They enjoy smashing bad teams. Give me the Thunders. Sacramento, especially after that bad loss to the Lakers. Give me the Thunder. And then finally, speaking of the Lakers, a crucial moment for their season, right? They don't leave California until March 27th. How absolutely absurd is that? Very, Jim. You're not wrong. Their next 5 games, they play the Kings, the Bucks, the Wolves all at home. Then they go up to Sacramento to play the Kings again. And then the Warriors back down at home. Then they take on the Hawks, Sixers, and Pacers all at home. This is it. This is what the Lakers season comes down to. You've got to win a bunch of these. I actually am fascinated by this game tomorrow. It's going to be an absolute Barry Crocker rocker. Let's go the Lakers -3.5. Nothing but shades of 2002 in my brain, but give me the Lakers -3.5 over the Kings. They were really good the other day in dispatching the Thunder, the Lakers. So I'm going to go the Lakers because the Lakers might stink, but not tomorrow. And that's it. Dunskies for today. We'll be back on deck tomorrow as per usual. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Star on Twitter, Facey IG, we're all over the socials. And of course, you can hear me on, that's right, the Supercoach AFL podcast, the official podcast of the AFL Supercoach. If you love your AFL 40, you can hear your mate, Jim. Also on the AFL Today Show. That is on YouTube and will be a podcast, hopefully by the end of this week. Opening round is this week for the AFL. We've got a million things up on YouTube. So go find the AFL Today Show. I'll post a link on the NBA Australia socials, but you can watch me, Stats Boy, Alex, hanging out, talking a bunch of crap about footy.
Love it.
Because footy's back. But also, all the NBA gear, you can see this on YouTube too. My smiling mug, having a bit of a chin wag, all that good stuff. You can also get around the Cricket Today Show, the Football Today Show. They're actually called, the Cricket Today Podcast, the Football Today Podcast as well. Subscribe to all those. Subscribe to all of them. Chuck us all a rating and review on your Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on the Android phone. Help a brother out. Like, subscribe, star, all that good stuff. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch. And big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. They rule. So do House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Should I, Green, and Dozers. They're behind all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And so should you. That's it. No skin at the end of the one today. I've got to get out of here. It's already very late. So we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Remember, go subscribe to all the shows. But especially AFL Today on the old YouTube and on the socials. Go on. It's a fun one. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? See you at Mr. Bungle. Or see you at the United game tomorrow night. Till then, later, hosen.